So good to have you, like I said, in God's house this morning. If you're a first-time visitor, we want you to feel welcome. This is God's house where everybody is somebody and God's everything. If you're just a visitor and you have been here on occasions, we consider you family. We want you to be welcome. We want you to worship God the way that you feel like you need to worship God. I want you to pray for me. Won't keep you very long. I'll be done in a few minutes. Get you to your Super Bowl party. Have we got any Kansas City Chiefs fans in the house this morning? Have we got any San Francisco 49er fans in the house this morning? Have we got anybody that just don't care? Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I want you to pray for me this morning. Like I said, I'm going to try not to keep you but just a few minutes. Kind of want to stand around a few minutes and wait on the Lord. If you got your Bible, you want to open it to 1 Kings chapter 17. You'll be turning there while I try to get myself ready. If you weren't here Wednesday night a week ago, this is probably considered a second part of a two-part series that I have. Book will be coming out soon. Tapes are available. For $1,000 donation, you can get those. Or you can go to our website and get it absolutely free. The choice is yours. But I want you to pray for me this morning that God will have His way in this service this morning, in this message. 1 Kings chapter 17. It'll probably take me longer to read my scripture than it will to preach, so I want you to pray for me. The Bible said, "And Elisha the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee there. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus said the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. I'd like to use this thought this morning, a homemade recipe for a miracle. I've preached this message, or preached from these scriptures several times. But today's with a little bit different twist on it. Won't be nothing that's going to blow your hair back. Won't be nothing you ain't heard before. But it'll be what I feel like that God sent this morning. An homemade recipe for a miracle. When I say a homemade recipe, it's usually something that starts from trial and error. You take a little bit of this and you put a little bit of that with it. Then you take a little bit of something. Then you finally come up with something that really works. And you write this formula down, and when you need that particular result, you pull out your recipe, put the ingredients into a container, mix it up, and it works every time. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I wonder if there's anybody in the house this morning that needs a miracle. And I'm not talking about you've had a bad day at work, or you broke a fingernail, or your shirt didn't turn out this morning like it needed to. I'm talking about some people that need a real miracle in their life. Amen? We're living at a time when people are struggling. Amen? I'm struggling. You're struggling. There's things going on in our life, and we really need God to move in our lives. Amen? But I'm here to tell you this morning, there is a recipe for a miracle for your life. Amen? And I'm going to try to give you that recipe this morning, this formula that will work for you. Amen? And when we say a homemade recipe, how many of us have done this, that somebody has given us a recipe, this homemade recipe that they have, and they say, if you take this and put these ingredients in a bowl, and you mix them up, and you cook this with a temperature of 375, and cook it for 20 minutes, and when it comes out, it is going to be awesome. And you take it home, and you mix it up, and you put it in the oven, and you cook it, and you get it out, and you taste of it, and it's really, really good. But you're saying, you know what, if I added just a little bit of this to it, it'd taste even better. Amen? Hallelujah. A homemade recipe for a miracle. There's some people sitting under the sound of my voice this morning, and you've tried to do it this way, and you've tried to do it that way, and you've tried to do this, and you've tried to do that, and you said, I've tried everything, and it's just not working. Amen? Nothing's working. But we've got to have the right measure and the right formula for the recipe to turn out right. Am I making any sense at all? Now, Elijah appeared on the scene like a man dropped out of heaven. If you read the scripture and you open up to 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah appears on the scene. He don't have no background in the ministry. He don't have no experience. He never has done anything. But all of a sudden, God gives him assignment to go down to Ahab and tell him this word. That it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. Amen? So Elijah appears on the scene, and he didn't have no experience, no problem-solving skills, but he had one thing. He had a word, amen? How many of you know sometimes we come into the house of God, and all we need is a word, amen? Sometimes we come into the house of God, and you really don't know what's wrong yourself. You got problems, and you got issues, and you're going through a famine, and you really don't even know what you want. And all of a sudden, somebody will give you a word from God. It's a divine intervention. It's a divine message from the Holy Ghost sent directly to you. Oh, my goodness. Somebody's got to pray. But Elijah had a word. Now, let me just throw this in this morning. There's some people sitting under the sound of my voice that you ain't got no background in the ministry. You've had no experience, none whatsoever. You ain't got really nothing going for you. But you've got a word. Amen? Now, God can use those kind of people. Amen? Now, Elijah is mentioned in the New Testament in connection with the ministry of John the Baptist. Luke 7:28 tells us, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Saying all that to say this, John only got to preach about the kingdom, but we get to experience the kingdom. Amen. John could only tell you, there's one coming after me who's mightier than I, whose shoelaces I'm unworthy to lose. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He only got to preach about it, but we get to experience. Amen. The Bible said, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And that's a recipe for a miracle within itself. Because we're living at a time when people are looking for something. They're looking for righteousness, they're looking for peace, and they're looking for joy. And it don't come in some of the places and some of the recipes that you've experienced. The only way it comes is through the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. A recipe for a miracle within itself. So I said that Elijah had a word, and the word was, there shall not be dew nor rain for 3.5 years. That was a sad time in Israel's history, the northern kingdom, for they were stooped in idolatry and immorality, and things wouldn't go in real well under the leadership of King Ahab. It was a sad time for the nation of Israel. How many of you know that Bible said, a righteousness exalt a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people? So God sent a famine in the land to get the attention of the people. Now sometimes when we're less than what we need to be, God will send a spiritual famine into our life to get our attention. What is a spiritual famine? There's no rain, there's no sowing, and there's no reaping, and there's no harvest. You're just simply existing. Your life is drier than yesterday's meatloaf. I know what I'm talking about, amen? Because I've experienced those times when I went through the dryness of not having the Spirit of God moving upon my life like I'd like to. And I'm looking around this morning. I'm persuaded to believe that there's somebody sitting here this morning. While I'm speaking, you're going through a spiritual famine. Maybe God's trying to get your attention. And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Amen? So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Now the first ingredients that we want to put into our recipe for a miracle is doing according to the word of God. Amen? We want to put it in our container to mix it up for a miracle. You've got to do according to the word of the Lord. Amen? See, our recipe for a miracle, doing according to God's word. You can read the word of God, and you can hear the word of God, and you can study the word of God, but till you act upon the word of God, it has no benefit for you whatsoever. Somebody better pray. See, God may ask you to do some things that's a little bit out of the ordinary. And I use this in the first part of my series of this message. Amen. God may ask you to get up in front of 300 people and crow like a rooster. Amen. God may ask you to go some places you really don't want to go. God may ask you to do some things that are a little bit out of the ordinary. See, God could have said to Elijah, I want you to go down to McDonald's and I'm going to bring you a Happy Meal in the morning. And I'm going to bring you a Happy Meal in the evening. And you're even going to get a little toy to go with it. And life's going to be good. You're going to be living the dream. But that's not what the Bible said to Elijah. The Bible said, I want you to go down to the brook Cherith and hide thyself. For I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. God said, go down to the brook of Cherith and hide thyself. Now, Cherith means separation. There comes a time in your life when you've got to separate yourself from some things and from some people in order for God to work a miracle in your life. Amen? There comes a time when you have to separate yourself from some things and from some people in order for you to receive a miracle in your life. Amen? So separation is another ingredient I want to put in my recipe for a miracle. Now then, the Bible said God commanded the ravens to feed Elijah there. With bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. I've always had this idea, and I don't know why, and I've probably read this Bible I don't know, hundreds, maybe even thousands of times. And I've read this story, and I've always had this ideal in my mind that here's Elijah sitting down by the brook Cherith, amen? And he's sitting down there, and he's twiddling his thumb, and all of a sudden, here comes this little raven in, and he's got a morsel of bread in his mouth, and he drops it in Elijah's hands, and he says, oh, thank you. And then in a few minutes, he comes back, and he's got this little strip of flesh in his hand, and he gives it to Elijah, and Elijah says, oh, thank you. And then all day he's sitting around by the brook and he's sipping of the water from the brook and he's saying, oh boy, this afternoon the raven's coming. Amen. But that's not what happened at all. Because the Bible said that a raven didn't come to feed him. The Bible said that ravens came to feed him. I believe that Elijah was sitting there with an expectation of a flock of ravens coming in and bringing flesh and bread in the morning and flesh and bread in the evening. Amen. I heard Jensen Franklin say this. Amen. The ravens were notorious in that day to fly into the temple. And what they would do, they would fly into the king's palace and go into the kitchen, amen, and get bread and flesh off the prepared meal for the king. How many of you know that you could eat off the king's table right in the middle of a famine? But God may supply it in a strange way. He may put you in some unusual places and sit you through some unusual ways, but God is going to bless you. Now, I said this the other night, amen. There may come a time in our life when we don't have all the luxuries that we have now. I'm planning on, when I leave here, to go to a restaurant and have lunch with my family. And I'm going to order whatever good they got on the menu. But there may come a time when we don't have that luxury. And it could be just right out in front of us. Amen. But I said this, you know what? I may not be eating at Cracker Barrel, but I promise you I'll be eating. Amen. Because God is a God of more than enough. Hallelujah. How many of us believe that God is El Shaddai, God Almighty, the God of more than enough? So the next ingredient that I want to place into my recipe for a miracle is the expectations. The Bible said that after a while that the brook dried up because there was had been no rain in the land. So we've got a recipe for a miracle going on, and we just drop expectation into it. Amen. Because we got to believe that God is the God of more than enough. We got to expect that God's going to do something that we can't really see, that we've never really seen before, and we really don't know. But our expectations tells us that God is the God of more than enough. Amen. The Bible said that after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now, it has been said that you can go for long periods of time without any food. But you can only go about 3 days without water. I tried it. I went on a 3-day fast with no food and no water. I wasn't really hungry at the end of 3 days, but I was laying in the middle of my living room floor saying, oh God, I'm fixing to die. Amen. We go without food for 3 days, we're going to be praying, God, just save me. But if you go without water for 3 days, you're really pushing it into the danger zone. So most scholars say that they're about 2 years into the famine when the brook totally dried up for Elijah. Amen. Now, when the brook dries up, it's time to move. Now, I'm not talking about a geographical location here, but I will say this. There ever comes a time when I don't feel like that I can come to the church and bring fresh bread to feed the flock, then maybe it's time for me to move. Amen. But what I am saying is God supplies our needs so we can rest. We can't rest in yesterday's provisions. Amen. God supplies for me not to rest in the provision, but to make plans for tomorrow. Amen. Romans 1:17 says this, for therefore is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, and as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Faith to faith, strength to strength, from glory to glory. Those words reflect the endless possibilities of elevation and transformation. How many of you know that the Bible said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind"? Okay? Hold on to that thought. So, of course, we want to add faith to our recipe of miracles. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we have this recipe for a miracle. Do you want to add anything to it? If you do, just stand up and tell me what you want to add to it. Hey, man. You could probably say, "Well, I'm thinking of a lot of things I could probably add to it, because that recipe sounds good, but I went through some things and I had to put a different ingredient into my recipe for it to work." That is totally awesome. Amen. That's what I was talking about a while ago when we say we get this recipe and we think, "Well, if I just added just a few more jalapeno peppers to that, it'd be totally awesome. Or maybe if I added just a little bit of this, that would be totally awesome." So do we need to add anything to our recipe for a miracle? Verse 8 says, "And the word of the Lord came into Elijah saying..." Now, what was one of the ingredients in our formula? Obedience to God's word. Now, Elijah could have said, "I have this recipe for a miracle, and it worked for me one time when he said, 'Go down to the brook Cherith.'" But now he's saying something different. If I make my world famous cornbread, y'all don't know that I'm famous, do you? I'm famous for cornbread. I'm a world famous cornbread maker. If you don't believe me, just ask my family. Because every time I make it, boy, I say, "This is the best cornbread I've ever eaten." They don't always agree with me, but I do. But if I make my world famous cornbread and it tastes really good, I'm not going to change the recipe. I'm not going to do nothing different, because I know it worked one time. And I'm going to do the same thing because I know it's going to work again. Amen? Elijah. So Elijah looks at the recipe, and the first ingredient he says, or he sees, is obedient to God's word. And God says, "Elijah, get thee to Zarephath." Now, Zarephath means a place of dying. Man, life was good. I'm down by the brook Cherith, and I've separated myself from things and from some people, and life is good, and bread and flesh is coming in the morning and in the evening, and I'm drinking of the brook, and life is good. But all of a sudden, the brook dries up, and it's time to move. Amen? And God says, "This is what I want you to do, Elijah. I want you to leave this place, and I want you to go to a place of dying." Oh, my goodness. That'd be like God saying, "I want you to leave the Fort Payne Family Worship Center, and I want you to go down to..." You fill in the blank. Amen? But God said, "Elijah, I want you to go to Zarephath." Now, sometimes our tests and our trials will get worse before they get better to see if you're going to stay with the recipe. Amen? God did it once, and He'll do it again. Has anybody ever experienced what I'm talking about? You've been through life, and you've had your life's ups and downs, and you've went through this, and you've went through that, and you've found out something that really works in your life. Amen? There's some things that just really, really work in my life. There's some people in my life. There's some things in my life. Prayer works. Bible study works. Fasting works. These things work in our life. So if you find yourself going through some issues, look back on yesterday and see what God done for you then and how it worked, and do it again. We're going to zip through this. "And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah and said, 'Get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee there.' So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gates of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, 'Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink.' And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand." And she said, "As the Lord God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in the cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Sounds like she needs a miracle to me. Amen? Things are not good for her. She's down to her last meal. She's down to just a little bit of meal in her hand and just a drop or two of oil in a cruse. And all of a sudden, the man of God shows up. Then Elijah starts to share his recipe for a miracle with her. Amen? First of all, he says, "How about fetching me a little water in a vessel?" Not a problem. She just turns around and starts to the house to get him a little water in a vessel. Now, you've got to remember, there's a famine going on. It hadn't rained in 2 years. Things are dry. But she's got something going on. And she just turns and goes to the house to fetch him a little water. Amen? Obedience to God's word. Now, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. But if I receive a word by divine inspiration from the God, you can take it to the bank. Amen? Because it comes from God. And you've got to be obedient to God's word. Amen? First part is easy. She disobeys the command and goes to fetch a little water. But as she's going, Elijah says, "Hey, while you're up there, bring me a little slice of bread." But separation is the second ingredient in our recipe for a miracle. Now, what are you talking about? We don't think like the world thinks, or we shouldn't think like the world thinks. Amen? Because this is the mentality of the world. Get all you can all you get, and set on you can. Amen? That's the mentality of the world. But the mentality of the kingdom is this. Give away all you can get, and God will give you more. Oh, my goodness. I said it the other night. He said he would give you that overflowing blessing. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now, when that good measure that he gives you, he said it's pressed down. It's shaken together, and it's running over. When that happens, it affects the people that are around you. Amen? It affects the people that are around you. But as she's going, he said, "Bring me a little slice of bread." So separation means that you've got to separate yourself from the mentality of the world and think on kingdom terms. Because God said, "Give and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." See, we have to separate ourselves from the mentality of the world. The next thing is expectations. Now, she said, "As the Lord God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son and die." But Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said. Make me, therefore, a little cake first and bring it unto me, and afterwards make for thee and for thy son." Well, that don't even make sense. I got just a little bit of meal in my hand, a little bit of oil in a cruse, and you're saying you want me to go and bake that and give it to you. Then after that, you want me to go and bake for me and my son? That don't even make sense. That don't make sense to the world, but it makes sense to me. Because that's God, how God works. Amen? I thought about this, and I always think about this when I read this story. How when I was a kid, now, I've told this a lot of times. Amen? I got 5 brothers and 5 sisters. Fortunately, we didn't all live in the house at the same time. But there was always a crowd there. Amen? And mother would cook supper. And it wasn't like it is today. I don't like what you fixed, Mama, would you take me down to McDonald's? That didn't happen, amen. You either eat what Mama fished or you didn't eat, amen. But it always amazed me. I'd be out playing all day maybe or come in from school or whatever, and I would go in there and I'd open the cabinet up and I'd look and I'd say, there ain't nothing in this house to eat. But by supper time, Mother would come into the kitchen. She would open that cabinet and she would look in there and she would get this, a little bit of this, and she'd get a little bit of that, and she'd put it in a bowl and mix it up and put it in the oven and get it out, and man, it was good. Hallelujah. That's the way that God works in our life. Sometimes we can't see how God's working, amen. All I know is He works. I don't know how He does it. I don't know why He does it, but I just know that He does it, amen. There's been times in my life that I didn't deserve to be blessed, and this morning's one of them, amen. But I serve a God that's more than enough to provide everything that I need. There is a recipe for a miracle in my life and in your life too. Amen? Woo! Where'd I get to? So she separated herself. Then she went on and did as Elijah said. She said, make me first a cake. For thus said the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Now she said, I don't know how God's going to do it. I'm just believing God's word, and I'm just acting on God's word, and I'm just giving everything I got to the Lord and let Him take it, juggle it, stretch it, ever how He wants to do it, and work a miracle in my life. Some of you ain't got a clue what I'm talking about. There's been times in me and my wife's family, amen, that we had to totally depend upon the Lord. Amen? Because there'd be things going on in our lives. There would be issues and situations in our life. And we would use the formula that God blessed us with from the beginning. Amen? And that formula always seems to work. And I don't know how God would do it. I really don't know how He would do it. Did you know? Hey, I got one. God can take this dollar bill and He can stretch it. Woo! I'm feeling that. He can stretch that thing and He can make it whatever you need it to be. Amen? As long as we give God everything we got, we act upon God's word, and we live with the expectation that God said, give and I shall give to you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaking together. And running over. God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I believe you're going to do it. Verse 15 says, and she went and did according to the sayings of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And she and he and her house did eat many days. Now, I heard a writer say this, and I don't even know if it's true or not, but it sounds good. He said, when they say that she and he and her house did eat many days, this meant that Elijah and her and her son and her house, which meant all of her relatives and all of her friends. Now, when I first read that, I thought, well, that's not what that scripture really means. But once he said that, I thought about, what did you just say? That God will give you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And when it runs over, it runs out to the people that you come in contact with. So that could very well be true. How awesome would that be? Amen. How awesome would that be to be so blessed that everybody's wanting to come to your house? Hey, let's go down to the widow woman's house. Because she's got food. She's got what we need. She's got an ample supply of what God has for us. Amen. And they go down to the widow woman's house and they look in the cabinet like I did and they can't find nothing. But at supper time, amen, the little widow woman goes in there and she gets that empty bottle of oil up and that bag of meal, and I was going to bring a bag of meal, but I didn't. Amen. And they get that and she says, And meal starts to come out. And she gets that empty bottle of oil and she turns it up. Amen. And oil runs out. And she takes that mixture and she adds a little bit of faith with it. And she stirs it up and she begins to bless everybody that she comes in contact with. Amen. At the Fort Payne Family Worship Center, God's doing a work in my life and in your life to where we can reach a lost and dying world. Amen. Now then. Why is God sending these messages? A week ago Wednesday night, I preached along these same lines. After the service, Brother Gerald come up to me and he said, "Man, you just preached my message for the men's brotherhood breakfast." Amen. Dylan comes in Wednesday night and he preaches on being a willing vessel. Amen. Do you know what God's doing? God is prospering the church in a way like He never has. Amen. If you own a business this morning, I'm going to prophesy over you. This is going to be the best year you've ever had. If you have a good job, your job's fixing to get better. No matter what you put your hand to, you're fixing to prosper. Amen. But there's some stipulations to that. I've got to do what the Word of God says. I've got to give. Amen. Why is God doing all this? Why is God doing this? Because He's bankrolling the church. Come on now. God is fixing to bankroll the church. And I said this the other night. Amen. I don't work my job. Amen. Because I want a bigger house or I want a new car. But those things are good. Amen. And they're good to have. But that's not what motivates me for a better paying job. What motivates me for a better paying job is I can give into the kingdom of God. Because God is fixing to bankroll the church. Because He's going to take that money and He's going to reach out. Amen. How many of you know you got to have money to reach out? We got to support our missionaries. We've got to support the people that can get it in the right hands of the right people and reach a lost and dying world. Amen. So she and he in her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which He spake by Elijah. Ryan, if you'll come to the piano. Micah, if you got something you want to sing. Let's stand our feet all over the house this morning. This is not a shouting message. Oh, you could have fooled me. This is a message sent from God to minister to somebody this morning. You need a miracle in your life. You need a miracle in your life. And I'm going to try to flip this thing over a little bit. You might say, "Well, I've got my recipe for a miracle, but you just don't know what I'm going through." You're right, I don't. But God does. See, you may be sitting here this morning and your world is in 1,000 pieces. Just bring your pieces and lay them up on His altar. And watch God put every one of them right back in place. You may be here this morning and you're thinking, "God, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know what I'm doing in this stage of my life." But I promise you this morning that God has a plan and God has a purpose for you. But you know what you got to do? You can't hold on to your seed. You can't eat your seed. You've got to give your seed to God. And let God take it and multiply. And you're saying, I've went too far. God can't fix my problem. God can fix your problem. I promise you. I promise you, whatever issue you got, God can fix it. But you got to give it to Him. So as they play and sing this morning, you need to pray. We want you to come pray.